This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. And as we commemorate the establishment of the Malaysian Federation in 1963, we now take a hard look at the Sabah and Sarawak economy, which has been badly hit by the pandemic. Sabah saw a GDP decline of 9.5%, while Sarawak shrank by 7.1% last year.
Now, these two states, including KL, were the worst hit. And in contrast, our nation as a whole contracted at a much smaller rate of 5.6%. With the economies tied closely to tourism and natural resources, this really was a double whammy as travel restrictions curtailed international and domestic tourism, and plunging oil prices really did not help these economies that are so closely linked to the oil and gas sector. Now, in addition to that, Sabah and Sarawak are the bottom three poorest states in Malaysia, each registering a poverty rate of 19.3 and 9% respectively. So we ask today, what should the government do to improve the economy and livelihoods of Sabahans and Sarawakians beyond simply just adding a dedicated chapter on the upcoming 12th Malaysia Plan?
And how can we ensure that the right investments and developments are in place to uplift communities and ensure long-term sustainable growth? So to help us answer that question and also to understand the economies of Sabah and Sarawak, we have on the line with us Dr. Dayang Afiza Awang Marikan, Associate Professor at the Faculty of Economics and Business at the University of Malaysia Sarawak. Good morning. Now, how have Sabah and Sarawak economies been impacted by the pandemic? Give us some granular information, and especially compared to Peninsular Malaysia.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me this morning. So with regards to the questions with Sabah and Sarawak, and how does it affect being affected by the pandemic? So we know that being among the richest state in Malaysia, Sabah and Sarawak is a major contributor, as stated just now. So today we see Sabah and Sarawak among the most severely impacted by the COVID, particularly Sarawak, with the surge of COVID cases reported daily. COVID-19 story is actually familiar to all states in Malaysia. Once it struck, then government will implement MCO and then different types of MCO. And the effect rippled through communities in the form of job loss, aligning businesses and baffling new economic landscape where old ways of working no longer works. This, on the other hand, created a scenario where the importance of online businesses skyrocketed. As for Sarawak, we can witness that the digital economies, particularly gig economy, has been very popular in this era. However, I would say that Sarawak's strategies and measures in handling COVID cases has curbed far more worse implications than it be. Being among the highest in its vaccination rate in Malaysia, with roughly about 90%, Sarawak is now entering the endemic stage. However, some strategies may need to be revised or dropped once we declare to be in the endemic phase. For example, like the quarantine periods for entering Sarawak. And somehow we have to accept that the fact that we are now living with COVID-19, we just need to take care of our SOP. Yeah, and another thing that I want to add, that without proper measure from the states and its unique SOP, since the beginning of the March of 2020, when the COVID first entered Sarawak, there would be more damages and high figures of unemployment, loss of incomes and inequality as well.
What do you expect to see in the 12th Malaysia Plan? Because honestly, in the past, we've just seen a lot of just infrastructure and rural basic infrastructure and Pan-Malaysia Borneo Highway just keeps on repeating itself year, decade after decade, right? So what do you think should be different in this 12th Malaysia Plan? And what are the priorities and focus for Sabah and Sarawak?
Yeah, it's true in what you're saying, that we keep on repeating the same thing, you know, about infra. Well, we are actually in the same storm, but definitely not in the same boat. For Sabah and Sarawak, it needs a different economic model, different measure, as well as different focus and priorities as compared to Peninsular Malaysia. One size doesn't fit all. And that's the first thing that we need to put in our mind when talking about any plan or strategies, as well as budget for Sabah and Sarawak. Ever since decades ago, Sabah and Sarawak has been associated with diverse geography and its rural area and this infrastructure, and, you know, keep on talking about the infrastructure. And now we're still talking about the same very thing. New focus need to be emphasized as well in this pandemic era. Thus, the effort will be doubled, need to be doubled. despite the main issue on prioritizing the people's well-being and public health as post-COVID-19 entering the endemic stage, it is crucial to emphasize on the telecommunication network for the rural area. Of course, the basic infra is still there, even though we keep on talking about the same thing. But the new things that in this pandemic era is the telecommunication network, providing affordable high-speed internet to bridge the digital gap between rural and urban. With the new norms, when we get up in the morning, we look at the screen, we breakfast reading from the screen, meeting, classes, purchasing, paying bills, communicating all via the screen. So we no longer need cash in hand or cards with us. It's all digital. So we have to ensure that all citizens, rural and urban, are included for Sarawakian. We have to educate people, especially rural, so they will not be left behind. Another thing that is to ensure the business survival and developing more high volume downstream activities. So we need to foster creative innovation to ensure that the business is sustained, that will create more jobs opportunity, boost productive workforce, so everyone can actually, you know, earn a living with a peace of mind without being afraid that they will be losing their jobs in the future. And Sarawak's move previously to transform itself into a digital economy has been the right move and become more relevant nowadays.
Right.
With the current scenario, more aids are needed. And COVID is like a house on fire. First, we need to put off the fire and give relief aid to people before we actually start talking about building the house or the whole ecosystem.
All right. Doc, I want to ask another question that has been in my mind, and that is one of which is that the high cost of living in East Malaysia, but at the same time, wages are lower there. Is there any way to address this? I mean, what should be done? What should be the priority?
Okay, in terms of the cost of living, as we know that we can't run away from the increasing cost of living because of the inflation as well. And that is a normal thing happening in the developing countries as well as in Sarawak. We are actually moving towards the developed states in 2030. The Chief Minister has come out with the post-COVID development strategy, or what we call as PCDS. 2030, in which said that inclusive society. So when we talk about the inclusive society here, okay, everyone will be able, should be able to enjoy the equitable wealth through jobs and business opportunity. So to reduce the increasing in the cost of living, first of all, we need to take care of our income, salary. Okay, in other words, that somehow we need to look in the, we need to relook on the salary level for the T20, M40, and B40. Bear in mind that within this pandemic, the M40 about, I think if I'm not mistaken, about 13%, 20% has moved to the B40, and the T20 is about 13% has moved to the M40. So this is a problem where the income as well. And another thing that we need to take into account is in terms of the cost of transportation, the cost of logistics, in which has been outlined in this the PCDS, in which it is saying that through this PCDS strategy 2030, there will be a reduction in travel costs by 25%, as well as the public transport will be increased by 20%. The government has created some major initiative, for example, like KUTS, Kuching Urban Transportation System, ART, Autonomous Rail Rapid Transit, and as well as expansion of Kuching Cebu Airport and the international flight connecting, as well as installation of ETON.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Dr. Dayang Afiza Awang Marikan from the University of Malaysia Sarawak, reminding us that there is really a lot to do to get the Sabah and Sarawak up to anywhere close to Peninsula Malaysia standard. But I think she highlighted something very important, and that is the digital divide that we face, I mean, that we see clearly in East Malaysia. Remember early on during the COVID-19, there was a picture of this student who had to climb up a tree to get to internet connection. You know, it shouldn't happen today in 2021. After all, we are supposed to be this digital nation, right, moving towards 5G, it should have, there should be basic connectivity everywhere.
So I want to build,
so not just a road.
Exactly. So, you know, if we talk about the 5G network rollout, right, you don't see, you see Sabah, Sarawak, like the major cities only, but only 80% national coverage in 24. So I'm wondering whether that 20% is still really the rural interiors of Sarawak and Sabah.
We'll find out, and hopefully that will be addressed at either the 12 Malaysia plan or the 2022 budget. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.